Our Bible readings are taking us through the book of Acts right now, where we had a couple of readings in that book. You remember this year in our Bible readings, we're not just reading one particular book or beginning at the starting at the beginning or reading all the way through, but we're taking different topics, if you will. So we just finished spending at the beginning of the year, we talked about Jesus. We spent 30 days with him leading up to Easter. And we're talking about what it means to become a Christian and how to be a Christian. We're going to have 10 days of those readings. And we print those Bible study or Bible reading guides. They're available online. All you got to do is click on the website. But there's a daily Bible reading guide. If you haven't picked one up and want one, the new readings begin today, the 29th of April. And they're available at the info center. So on your way out, if you haven't picked up your hard copy, if that's the way you have been following the Bible readings, if that would help you, then please pick one up. And that will take us about through the end of August. And then we will prepare the readings for the remaining weeks and months of the year shortly thereafter. But we're talking this morning out of the book of Acts, the second chapter of Acts. There is a passage there that talks about church, talks about what the church is about. We gather here on Sunday mornings. We gather here. There's something going on here every day, it seems. Good things happening here every day. You say you belong to this church, or, you know, maybe if you're not a member here, you're visiting with us, or maybe your membership is somewhere else. We talk about belonging to the church or participating in the life of the church. The book of Acts tells us what church is supposed to be all about. It's an amazing book because as you read through the book of Acts, you will find that Luke, he is the author of this book, he doesn't just tell us what the church did, though that's very important, but he tells us in these chapters how they were doing. And you see, there's a difference. He didn't just report, this is what the church did, this is what the church does, this is what the church is supposed to be doing. But he records how they were doing, what their attitude was, how they fulfilled their destiny. And that's why the book of Acts is so amazing to me, is that it tells me what church is supposed to be all about, and it helps me to see when I look at my own church, when I look at my participation at First Baptist Church, Louisville. This is where I belong. Many of you do as well. How are we doing? The question might well be asked. The passage I wanted you to look at this morning with me is from chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. This is one general summary that talks about what church is about. There's another summary over in the fourth chapter. We won't cover it today, but these two summaries, 2, 42 to 47, and chapter 4, 32 to 35, are brief summaries concerning the church, what they're about, what the church is supposed to be doing. In chapter 1, verse 15, we are told that the membership of the early community, the first century church, was 120 persons. Luke is very specific about that. That's in chapter 1, verse 15. But when you get to chapter 2, verse 41, in one day, as a result of one gathering, where Simon Peter, one of the original apostles of Jesus, spoke a sermon that couldn't have lasted more than 20 minutes. You can read the text of it there in Acts chapter 2. It was a very brief sermon. As a result of that day, 3,000 people came to Christ and became part of the first century church. To go from 120 to 3,000 in one day. That's why the book of Acts is so amazing, because this is not a book about one hero. It's not a book about Peter, or it's not a book about Paul. This is a book where the hero is the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit of God infiltrates and energizes and comes to proclaim who he is by his presence, the very will of God, exciting, amazing, miraculous things always seem to happen. That's what happens, or that's what happened in the first century church. Then that summary, beginning there in chapter 2, beginning in verse 42, Luke begins to tell us how the church arranged their priorities. What caused? How was the Spirit leading them? And I think it's good for any church of any size, any denomination, if you are a Bible, not Bible believing, but a Bible living church, and if you uphold the Lordship of Christ, if that church is doing what it ought to be doing, it can come back and look at this summary that we're about to look at for a few minutes this morning and take heart, yes, maybe be convicted of what we're not doing, perhaps. It begins with Luke telling us that this early congregation that grew from 120 to 3,000 in one day based everything they did upon four priorities. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42, God's word says, they, and that means the early church, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. If you go back and look grammatically at those four parallel clauses, they're very evident. You can't miss them. Let's talk about them for a moment. The first priority that this early church had in everything that they did was they were devoted to the teaching of the apostles, it says. Right there. Teaching of the apostles. Notice they didn't think about that teaching every once in a while. But the scripture is very clear that they were continually devoting themselves to the teaching of the apostles. What was that teaching? They didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They didn't have anything that we have in the New Testament. They didn't have the document that we're reading from today. They didn't have the book of Acts. What did they have? What was it that they were teaching? Most would assume that much of this teaching was based upon the Old Testament, that as they read the Old Testament, they interpreted it in light of who Jesus was and what he came to do. Taking the prophecies of the coming of a Messiah, it's all the way through the Old Testament, and relating that to Jesus the Christ is the fulfillment of those prophecies. They probably, no doubt, because the original apostles were in this group, they knew some of the sayings of Jesus. And so by memory, or maybe they had taken time to journal out, and as Jesus was teaching them during those 3 years they were with him, they remembered some of his statements. Surely they all had some remembrance of that sermon we call the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe that was a lot of the teaching of the apostles, where they kept going back and saying, you need to remember that when Jesus was upon this earth, he sat us down on the Sea of Galilee, and he began to teach, and he told us things about prayer, and he told us how to treat our enemies, and he told us how to build our lives, not upon the sand of our own convictions, but upon the rock of God's will and God's way. It, of course, expanded. It, of course, became formalized. It became what we know today as our New Testament combined with the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, God's Word. They were continually devoted to this teaching. Second, they were continually devoted to fellowship. It's right there. The teaching of the apostles and to fellowship. Interesting word. That word is almost an English word. You know, we take some words in a foreign language and we say them so often, we just adopt them. Koinonia, to many people, is a word that means fellowship. There are bookstores named Koinonia. There are churches named Koinonia. That's the Greek word for fellowship. Interesting word in and of itself, because Koinonia was not a unique word. It was just a part of their vocabulary. And its root meaning is common. Common every day. Common sharing. Common ground. What have we done with it? Well, Baptists have built their whole doctrine upon koinonia. Fellowship hall. Covered dish dinners. I mean, we have a room down here called what? The Fellowship Center. We didn't do wrong by calling it that. But we need to always remember that fellowship was a unique characteristic of the first century church. And that word common always referred to something sacrificed, something given as an offering. So koinonia in its everyday usage was the fact that people had all things in common, and they helped one another, and they served one another. Interesting way to look at what we've often referred to as a gathering where we bring food together and we have a good time and we sing songs that make us feel good and we eat some more and we sing more songs that make us feel good or whatever the case may be. That's fellowship? No. It's part of it. But in its original setting, it's the fact that you had 120 people who grew into 3,000 people. And as they begin to function, as they begin to organize, their fellowship was a mutual serving one another, having all things, sharing in common, sacrificing for the needs of others. They believed in fellowship. Interesting too, this is the first place in the Scripture, in the New Testament, where the word appears. You'll never find this word in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. They didn't understand it. It didn't really become fully developed. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the first of many occurrences of this detail about the early church we find. Number three, breaking of bread, it says. Now this leads to a whole line of discussion between people who study the Bible for a living, between theologians. In different church groups who are going to say that this breaking of the bread is a direct reference to the sharing of the bread and the cup, the Lord's Supper. Perhaps it could have turned into that. I think the context of this passage is the sharing of meals, the breaking of bread. If it became a religious observance of what we call the Lord's Supper, or what some would call communion, or what some churches base their entire theology and reason for being upon reading into that bread and that cup as having the power of the body and the blood of Jesus within it. I think here in this first century setting, breaking of bread simply means that these people were together. They shared in common even their food. They broke bread together. You've got to read into that the fact that when you ate with someone in the first century world, it was a very important social sign of acceptance. Or if you did not eat with someone, it was the very opposite, a sign of social rejection. We may not view it that strongly today in our world, but for you to sit down at the table or go into the home of someone and eat at their table, it was a spiritual event in many ways. Why else was Jesus criticized by the scribes and the Pharisees? Because he what? He shook hands with Matthew, the tax collector. He looked up at Zacchaeus, the guy that was in the sycamore tree. No, he did much more than that. He ate with them. He went to their homes. He accepted them. The early church, they broke bread together. And fourth, prayer. Obvious. Should be obvious. That the early church based its existence upon prayer. Some are going to want to build a case for a whole system of worship built around prayer. More power to you. That's fine with me. We took time last Sunday morning in our services to focus upon prayer. We did things a little different in this room than we do on most normal Sundays. Not that any Sunday is supposed to be normal. But the early church patterned its life after these four things. God's word, teaching, fellowship, having things in common with one another, supporting one another. The breaking of bread, the sharing of meals, the sharing and acceptance of one another, and prayer. An attitude of reverence and dependence upon God. And what did all this do? It led to a sense of awe and fear, the scripture says. King James Version says, and there was great fear among the people. You need to understand that this word in the Greek New Testament is more in the sense of awe. Fear, not like you're scared of getting hit or you're afraid of some sinister force, or fear like you would hear in a murder mystery or a ghost story. Not that kind of fear, but a sense of understanding that the Spirit of God is moving among the people. This is what was happening. This is how the early church was doing. And this led to what? It led to the living of generous lives. Look at what happened. Verse 44. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Keep in mind, this is not a passage you can use to purport a political stance of what we would call communism. This is not everyone liquidating what they had and distributing it equally among all of the people. That's my understanding of communism. This is people living generous lives and giving up things. They still had ownership of other things. They still went from house to house and shared meals together. They still had ownership of property. But when it came to the needs of others, when it came to what the Holy Spirit was doing within their lives, they generously what? They generously gave of their lives, of their possessions, to help those in need. The scripture even names names about all this. Over in that summary in chapter 4, at the end of the summary, it says there was a man named Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement, and he sold a parcel of land, one of his parcels of land, and he brought the proceeds and laid it at the feet of the church. My goodness, something was going on in the life of that first century church to cause people to feel community and fellowship and to live their lives so generously. I've asked for three of our members, Walt Brown and Georgia Dudley and Pauline Williams, to come and stand here with me, please, if you ladies would. Walt Brown, right over here. You can join the, yes, there you go. Walt Brown right here. Walt and his wife Kathy, members of our church. Georgia, y'all don't know each other? Okay. Georgia, yeah, okay, here's Walt. Okay, Pauline, Walt. These three folks, I asked to just give us their take on why this church means so much to them, how and why they find community here at the church, and just, you know, what their motivation is for being a part of First Baptist Church Louisville. And I kind of prompted you on it. You already knew that I was going to ask that. Walt, if you would come up first, please, and just share from your heart, please. And get, yeah, real close.
Okay. We first moved back to Texas in November of 2010 and began looking for a church home. And after visiting several churches in the area, we visited First Baptist Louisville in December. We were impressed immediately with three things: the preaching of God's word, the great music by the choir and orchestra, and the warmth of the staff and fellowship. So we joined in January of last year. And shortly after that, Dr. Stephen and his sweet wife Marcy graciously invited a bunch of us who were new members into their home for a time of information about the church and sharing and questions that we could ask. It meant a whole lot to Kathy and I being brand new in the church. It really ministered to our lives and kind of set the tone for what we felt the church was really all about. Then we attended First Steps with Brian and let it be known that we would like very much to exercise the gift of the Holy Spirit had given us of teaching the Word of God, and wanted to have a Bible class. Shortly after, we were blessed by a wonderful group of young adults under the leadership of Steve and Kelly Boylan to teach in their class. And so we've been doing that now for quite a few months, having a wonderful time of studying God's Word together. And it's been a real blessing to us to be here in His fellowship. I'll just say in conclusion that Kathy and I are very grateful to the Lord for the wonderful salvation that He provided us through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation that's available to everyone who would believe in Him. And secondly, we're very happy to be a small part of the ministry here at First Baptist Louisville.
Okay, thank you. You bet. Georgia? Same question, same idea. If you right. just shared your thoughts.
Right. My name is Georgia Dudley, and I have been a member here since March of 1998. I came from a small town of Rowlett. I was looking for a church home, and I became acquainted with Nelda Clary and the Best family, and they invited me, and I came to visit, and I knew then that I had have a church home. Everyone was so friendly, and they were encouraged by my coming to the church, and I got involved with the Magic Group, which is the most active group in church. And I really enjoyed it and became a permanent member there. And everyone in my Bible class, and we have good teachers, and our ministers who have been well attended to us, and I appreciate it. But I love the Lord, and I'm glad to say that I belong at First Baptist of Louisville.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Pauline?
Good morning. I'm Pauline Williams, and since I'm probably the oldest one up here, I have to use my notes because I don't want to have a senior moment in the next 5 minutes. So if you will bear with me, I was so honored when I was asked to speak about our church and what it means to me. I'm a longtime member of First Baptist, and I've been a Christian for over 70 years. So you can start figuring up my age, because I'm not going to tell you. But anyway, I joined the church. It was a little country Baptist church at a revival, and it's something I will never, never forget. What I love about our church is the friendliness and the caring for each other. Someone is always there to help you when you need them. And, of course, our pastor, I think, can't be beat. We had a block party in my neighborhood not long ago, so I always try to invite people to come and join us. And so I was surprised that so many of them didn't have a church home. And they said, "Well, where do you attend church?" I proudly said, "First Baptist Louisville on Valley Ridge Boulevard." And they said, "Oh, we've heard what a great pastor and choir director you have." And I said, "Well, that should be reason enough to come and visit us and see what we're all about." Let me get to my notes again. But anyway, Dr. Stephen is a fine preacher. He's a man of God. He preaches it like it is. Now, sometimes Stephen steps on our toes. And believe me, my toes have been sore many times from him stepping on them. And then our choir director and choir, Kelvin, they even had heard about him. And, oh, they just sing so beautifully for us every Sunday. And Kelvin knows he can bring tears to our eyes. But we thank the good Lord for both of them. But what is most dear to my heart is the senior adult group. Now, Truett King was our leader for many years, and what a leader. But I think we aged him so much that he took early retirement. But now we have Jimmy Bryan, and we are going to take real good care of Jimmy. Because if we don't, his mother may take care of us. But anyway, back to our senior adult group. We do so many fun things. We take trips. We've been to the new Dallas Cowboys Stadium. We've been to the Mavericks locker room. We've been to the Blue Bonnet Fields at Ennis. And, oh, just so many other things. So if you're 55 years and older, you need to come join us. We have such good fellowship among our people. These are just some of the reasons I love my church. But most of all, I love my Lord and Savior who died for me. Thank you. Amen.
What these three did not really emphasize enough was the fact that they all serve. They belong and have a sense of community because they're teaching, they're greeting, they're serving others. That's what the church is about. That's what the book of Acts says the church is about. Two final verses. Verse 46, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now you notice there's some habits here that are listed, some good habits. Daily, every day, this passage tells us that the church, the early church, was touching lives. They were telling others about Jesus. The Lord was adding to their number every day, it says. They were caring for one another. You go to chapter 6, verse 1, and it says that this early group of believers were taking care of one another and their needs. And they were reading their Bibles. The 17th chapter, the 11th verse, says that throughout the empire, really, of Rome, that in the synagogues where people were gathering to worship Jesus at that time, that they were every day talking about the scriptures that referred to him. This is what the church was about. And you notice that throughout the whole book of Acts, no one ever quit. No one ever gave up because they were tired, because they got to a point where they couldn't function, or it was time to lay it aside and do nothing. And every single person within the congregation was encouraged. That's what the early church was all about. That's what they did. And when Luke talked about how they were doing, the Holy Spirit making it possible for people like you and me to live generous lives and to touch the lives of others. That's what the church is about. When the Holy Spirit is recognized, truly recognized within the life of the church, then notice what's going to happen. Believers are going to be rightly related to God's Word. That's the teaching. All of us as believers are going to be rightly related to one another. That's fellowship. We're going to be rightly related to God as we worship and we pray to Him. And we're going to be rightly related to the world as we seek to tell others the story of Jesus who died on a cross for the sins of the world. That's the kind of church I want to be a part of. And our church will be that kind of church when people like you and me start living like these people did. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity for instruction and worship and reading your word today. I thank you so much for the opportunity we have to honor senior adults in the life of our church today, knowing that we're truly a family, that we're not just divided by our ages, all the way up and down. We do things together. We minister to certain groups, of course. But we are all your children. And we give thanks for that privilege. So help us, Lord, to make good choices today. To make victorious choices in our lives. Because your Spirit is here among us. It's in the name of Christ we offer our prayer. Amen. We offer an invitation as we conclude this service this morning. For it could well be that someone in this very room, you have yet to say yes to Jesus Christ in your life, to the fact that He died upon a cross that you might have forgiveness of your sin. You may have heard about Jesus. You may have been told that you were brought up in a home that was religious, but that's all beside the point. I'm asking if you have ever come to a point in your life where you have said, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and lead me. If that's a choice that you want to make or you want more information about that choice, we're going to have ministers and deacons standing here in just a moment to pray for you, to encourage you. Maybe you're here today and you know the Lord, just hadn't told anyone. Profess your faith in Him by coming forward and telling us of your belief in the Lord Jesus. Be willing to be baptized as a believer. It's His command, not ours. We didn't make it up. But as these two at the beginning of our service identified with Jesus in the symbol of believer's baptism, we would invite anyone that is yet to experience that to come forward, and we'll find a good time, a good day, a good service in order for you to experience believer's baptism. Joining this church, it might well be that you're here today and God is leading you to become a part of this family, this church family. This is what we're supposed to be all about. Doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean we're doing all these things that are listed in the scripture, but it does mean that's the direction we're headed. And if God is leading you to join ranks with us, then come forward today and join this church. And then maybe for most of us, it's simply a time to reflect, a time to look back at what we've been doing in our spiritual lives in these past days. Are we serving? Do we know what true fellowship really is like? Or is fellowship for us just coming and getting a good meal or being entertained or someone saying nice things to us and meeting our needs? Or is fellowship truly living a life generously before God, sharing with others? That's our invitation today. It comes straight from the heart of God. We stand together, we sing, we ask you to step out and come forward right now as we sing.